Chapter 43. When I came to my senses, there was darkness and steady cold rain, and I had sunk up to my neck in a deep well of aching pain. Neither lightning nor thunder played through the skies. I lay there for a moment, gathering my wits, and as I did, the lights of the city began to come on, bit by bit, as the power grids went back online. A booted foot pressed into the ground beside my face, and I followed it up, up, and up, until I saw the horned helmet of the Earl King outlined against the brightening Chicago skyline.
"Wizard, called you forth a mighty hunter tonight, one that has not walked this earth since time gone and forgotten."
"Yeah," I said. "Pretty nifty, huh?" There was a low, wild laugh from that helmet.
"Daring, arrogant, it pleases me."
He tilted his head.
"And you are poor game at the moment. Because of that, and because you pleased me with your calling of the old hunter, this night you may go free. But beware, mortal. The next time our paths cross, it shall be my very great pleasure to run you down."
There was a gust of cold autumn wind, and the Earl King was gone. I looked around blearily. Every tree in the area was gone, torn off about a foot from the earth. The picnic tables had been torn to splinters. The buildings of the college, especially the museum, looked as if they had been ravaged by a tornado that had torn out great chunks and sections of them. My ribs hurt. I looked down and saw that I'd fallen around Bob the Skull and curled my body around him as I had shielded myself. Orange flame flickered to life in the eye sockets.
"Some show, huh?"
Bob said. He sounded exhausted.
"You had to go get the dinosaur, huh?" I said. "I figured you'd just grab a handy zombie."
"Why settle for wieners when you can have steak?" the skull said brightly. "Pretty good idea, Harry, talking to me once Cowl set me on the ground. I didn't want to work for him anyway, but as long as he had the skull... Well, you know how it is."
I grunted.
"Yeah. What happened?"
"The spell backlashed when you slugged Cowl," Bob said. "Did just a bit of property damage."
I coughed out a little laugh, looking around me.
"Yeah. Cowl?"
"Most likely there are little pieces of him still filtering down," Bob said brightly. "And his little dog, too."
"You see them die?" I asked.
"Well, no. Once that backlash came down, it tore apart every enchantment within 100 miles. Your dinosaur sort of fell apart."
I grunted uneasily.
"Oh," Bob said. "I think that warden over there is alive."
I blinked. "Ramirez?"
"Yeah," Bob said. "I figured that you were a warden now and stuff, and that you would probably want me to help out some other warden. So, just before the Big Bang, I had the dinosaur stand over him, soak up the blast."
I grunted.
"Okay," I said. "We've got to help him, but one thing first."
"What's that?"
Bob asked. I squinted around until I found Gravain's battered corpse. Then I crawled over to it. I fumbled in the trench coat's pockets until I found Kemmler's slender little book. I squinted around me, but there was no one to look as I put it in my pocket.
"Okay," I said. "Come on, watch my back while I help Ramirez."
"You betcha, boss,"
Bob said, and his voice was very smug.
"Hey, you know what? Size really does matter."
Ramirez made it out of that evening alive. He had 4 broken ribs and 2 dislocated shoulders, but he came through. With Butters' help, I was able to get him, Lucio, and Morgan back to my place. At some point in the evening, Butters had taken off his drum and let Morgan take over the drumming duties while he tried to help Lucio. And as a result, her wound hadn't been quite as fatal as she had thought it would be. They were far too badly hurt to stay at my place, though. And senior council member Injun Joe Listens to Wind himself showed up with 6 more stay-at-home wizards who knew something about medicine and healing to move them to a more secure location.
"I just don't get it," Morgan was telling Listens to Wind.
"All of these things happening at once, it can't be a coincidence."
"It wasn't," I heard myself say. Morgan looked at me. The resentment in his eyes hadn't changed, but there was something else there that hadn't been there before. Dare I hope it, some modicum of respect. "Think about it," I said. All those heavy vampire attacks, just when Cowell and his buddies most needed the White Council not to be involved.
Are you saying that you think Cowell was using the vampires as a tool? Morgan asked.
I think they had a deal, I said. The vampires throw their first major offensive at the right time to let Cowell pull off this Dark Hollow.
But what do they get out of it? Morgan asked.
I glanced at Listens to Wind and said, the senior council.
Impossible, Morgan said. By that time, they had to know that the senior council was back in Edinburgh. The defenses there have been built over thousands of years. It would take...
Morgan paused, frowning. I finished the sentence for him. It would take a god to break through them and kill the senior council. Morgan stared at me for a long time, but didn't say anything. It wasn't long before they left, pulling out the wounded wardens and leaving. It left me with only about half an hour to meet Mavra's deadline, but since the phones were up again, I left a message at her number and headed for our rendezvous. I turned up in my grave again, standing over the open hole in the ground as Mavra approached me, this time openly and without melodrama. She faced me over my grave and said nothing. I took the book out of my pocket and tossed it to her. She picked it up, regarded it, and then drew an envelope from her jacket and tossed it at my feet. I picked it up and found the negatives of the incriminating pictures of Murphy inside. Mavra turned to leave. I said, "Wait." She paused. "This never happens again," I said quietly. "You try to get to me through other mortals again, and I'll kill you."